Today's audio cast for Friday, April 13th, 2007 from AvWeb, the world's premier independent aviation news resource, is brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting. Welcome to part two of AvWeb's interview with DayJet President, CEO, and founder Ed Iacobucci as he delves into the immediate and future plans for the startup air taxi firm. The Boca Raton, Florida-based company evaluated several regions in the U.S. before deciding on per-jet on-demand operations in the Southeast.
We actually can model any part of the United States, and we did model the Northeast, the Midwest, the Pacific Northwest, California, then Texas, and lower Midwest and the Southeast. And we decided to launch in the Southeast because we were pretty familiar with it in the sense that we live here and we know the cities. And when the models spit out potential places that prioritize locations, we had some knowledge that we could, you know, kind of check the viability of the kind of decisions that were being made by the model. It's actually pretty good from what we've seen. Secondly, it's where we live today, and it makes a lot of sense to be close to the operation so we can do the fine-tuning of the systems, and see things firsthand. And third of all, last but not least, is the fact that, by and large, the operations in the Southeast, or especially starting in Florida, are going to be sea-level operations, so that gives us more operational flexibility in terms of how we deploy the fleet and how we use the fleet. We will be starting, the actual launch will be in June this year, starting in five Florida markets: Boca Raton, which is basically South Florida, Lakeland, which is between, many people know Lakeland from Sun and Fun, but it's between Orlando and Tampa, then Gainesville, Tallahassee, and Pensacola. We expect that we'll be adding to that pretty aggressively as the aircraft are brought online in the fleet. Our commitment to our customers is that we're not going to build a demand faster than we build a fleet, so we can have a decent reliability of service for the customers. So I would expect that as the fleet grows, we'll be growing. We will be growing contiguously. In other words, we're not going to jump to another part of the country. It'll be growing as a mesh, if you would. And as you said, southern Georgia, South Carolina, southern Alabama, then on to northern Alabama, Georgia, through South Carolina, North Carolina. That's probably the path. I can't tell you exactly where yet, because we still have a lot of calibration to do with our models, which we're going to do after we start getting actual customer requests fed in. But we're prepared to be very adaptive and go where our customers want us to go over time.
While DayJet has received a lot of national press, it's taken a more local approach to its marketing plan.
Our focus in terms of market development has been a very local focus. In other words, for the past 9 months or so, we've been focusing almost exclusively on developing the visibility and education of the companies that are within 40 miles of each of our dayports that we've announced. So it's very much a grassroots, from the bottoms up, marketing effort where we target people and then we spend time with them explaining to them what the benefits of regional travel in this mode is. And our response has been phenomenal. We have a membership program where we allow people to sign up, companies, and then they nominate individuals to travel. And we're somewhere up north of 1,000. We've got a lot in the pipeline. We're north of 500 individual members and north of 100 companies that have signed up that are all within 50 miles of those dayport locations that I described. As we expand the network, then we market into the immediate geographic areas around the markets that we open. So you won't see a lot of big splashy ads for DayJet, but if you live in a targeted community, you're going to see a lot about DayJet, and thus far it's working very well. We're very very comfortable with what our customer recruitment process is yielding, and we think that by the time we launch, we'll have the right number of companies and members to develop the kind of demand that we need to build the business.
Last month, DayJet received $50 million of funding, the first outside capital since Yakabuchi formed the company, initially known as Jetson Systems in 2002, with his own money.
Well, the idea behind the funding was to generate enough, raise enough capital that we could prove a lot of the concepts, because, frankly, up until this phase, it's been more of a theoretical exercise, right? And we all would like to see... We'd like to see this work in reality with real customers, and we're seeing a lot of that now in terms of the customers that are signing up. But about 6 months from now, we'll have quite a bit more data. How far the funding lasts is going to be a function of what the density of demand winds up being. If we underestimate it, and we've been very conservative in terms of the demand, we know the demand's there. The question is, how dense is it? How many people in each of these cities might, on a daily basis, want to go to another one of the cities or some other extended network location? And we've planned for a very sparse demand, and with that, we probably can go through most of the end of the year before we start thinking about additional capital. If it turns out that the demand is denser, as our models have predicted that it is, then we'll wind up with probably less day ports and being able to turn a profit earlier, and perhaps even being able to go in cash flow positive by the end of the year. But that's going to depend entirely on the customer response.
Yakabuchi says it's hard to think too far out into the future right now as DayJet begins to finally put its plans into motion.
It's hard to think of where to go too far beyond launching the service, because that's frankly got us all very, very busy now. There's a lot of things that we have to convert into real human processes and workflows. And I mean, this whole business model is built upon a high degree of real-time automation. So we've been fortunate that we've been able to test a lot of the systems ahead of time. Now it comes time to put everybody through the training programs we've put in place and see what training's worked and what hasn't worked. I'm not talking about it, flight training. That's obviously, we obviously have a good model for what we need to do there. But I'm talking about training all the people in the day ports and customer service and really flushing out the systems, and that's really all we're really looking towards for the rest of this year. There are a lot of interesting things we could talk about next year and beyond, but frankly, we have to prove this stuff works as we say it does before we can realistically move to some of the more expanded services.
He believes DayJet will ultimately succeed because the company is targeting a heretofore unaddressed air travel market.
Depending on who you talk to in the industry, there's a lot of opinions as to who the DayJet customer is going to be, ranging from nobody all the way to everybody. The reality of it is that there is a very specific market that we're targeting, and that's middle-tier managers and professionals that have high-value missions between hard-to-get-to locations that don't have very many options today. For example, an attorney that's going to a deposition in a different city and within the state, or an engineer that has to go review a building site, or an architect that has to review a design versus what's being built on the site. All those people are relatively, they're higher level individuals that value their time significantly, but they don't value it enough to charter an airplane for the day, which is a cost prohibitive thing. We're targeting the people that have these tasks and yet today are forced to drive 10, 15 hours. So the answer to our customers really are is people that are driving today. If a year from now we discover that we're flying around the same people that would have been chartering otherwise, then I'll tell you that our business model is going to be a failure. This whole business model is based on getting people out of cars that have no alternatives, and I'm pretty excited that we're making a lot of progress in that.
In case you missed it, be sure to listen to part one of this interview, available now at avweb.com. For breaking GA news, log on to avweb.com, the world's best website for general aviation news and information, and it's even better now. You're going to love the look of our new homepage. And give us your feedback with the question of the week, FBO of the week, or submit your photos and videos. And don't forget about the events calendar, classified ads, avwebbooks.com, and marketplace. Comments on this audiocast welcome at audionews@avweb.com. This report was brought to you by Aviation Consumer, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners. Look for our next audiocast on Monday, April 16th. For the AvWeb Audio News Team, I'm Mike Blakeney. Thanks for listening.